Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
All those who live their life faithful to God, who die faithful in the Lord, it is precious in the sight of our God with the death of His saints. And why is that? Good people, it is because of the fact that there is indeed a day of resurrection. The Bible tells us that life on this earth is not going to remain on forever, but rather that we will indeed pass from this life and that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the Bible tells us, good people, that whenever Jesus Christ comes again, that there will indeed be a great and glorious resurrection, a resurrection of all. According to what we read in the book of John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good into the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil into the resurrection of condemnation. Good people, the Bible makes it very clear that indeed there is indeed a great resurrection coming. When we think in regard to the resurrection of Christ, there are many people who are so confused in regard to Jesus Christ and the resurrection at all. In fact, many people have questions concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. In fact, if you recall in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus, seeking to comfort His apostles, said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in Me, for in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know." Good people, Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for all those who are faithful to Him unto the day in which Jesus Christ will return. In the context here, we learn that there was one man by the name of Thomas who doubted. In fact, he says, "Lord, we do not know where it is that You're going. Lord, how can we know where You're going?" In fact, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This man questioned Jesus Christ in regard to His death, the burial, and the resurrection. And today, many still question concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And today, I tell you that I do not believe in part that it is wrong for us to question. And you might say, "Kevin, why?" Because in our questioning, you and I ought to look deeper into God's Word and to find the truth concerning the matter of what God says concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But not only what God says concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, in like figure, what our God says concerning our death, burial, as well as the resurrection of all who are indeed in the grave. In all of these things, you people, a lot of times we find is that people are confused about the resurrection of Jesus and about the resurrection of mankind. In the confusion here today, I tell you that the confusion is not on the part of what the Bible says. Why do I say that? We learn from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion. Good people, when we think in regard to God's Word, God has given it to us, according to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He's given it to us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. We also understand concerning the message that God has given unto us, that He has given us His complete, inerrant Word, Jude 3, as well as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. God has given us everything that is sufficient for life. Are there things that we do not have in the Scripture? Absolutely. In the book of Deuteronomy 29 and 29, we understand that the secret things belong to God. But good people, understand this. Whenever we think in regard to life here, whenever we think in regard to our God as well as the life that is yet to follow, life here upon the face of the earth, God has been very graphic in detail in regard to what it is that we need to know in order to have a faith in Him, and a faith then not only that we'll believe in Him, but a faith that will live our lives faithfully to Him in throughout the course of our life. And therefore, for that reason, you and I must never allow ourselves to be confused in regard to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, though, when we think in regard to what's found here in the world, there are many people who are skeptics concerning Jesus Christ as a whole. In these things, many people will question not only His death, burial, and resurrection, but they will question Jesus, whether or not He was God. They will question whether or not He lived here upon the face of the earth. And good people, understand this. God does not want us to be skeptical concerning Jesus and also in regard to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection that each and every one of you, each and every one of us, will be partakers of. In fact, we learn in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 19 that even the demons believe and tremble. And for that reason, if those opponents of God believe in God as well as they understand a fullness concerning various things about the death as well as the burial and resurrection of Christ, in like figure, you and I must have full confidence concerning these things. The Bible also, we also understand what we think in regard to what's found here in the world is that many people argue against the resurrection of Jesus. And today I tell you that this is not a new concept. It's not something that modern mankind has come up with in our age. In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, we understand that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, nor in angels or in the spirit of man. And I find it interesting here in the context that it says the Pharisees believed concerning these things. But the Sadducees, they did not believe, and in fact, they were guilty oftentimes of presenting multiple types of arguments against the resurrection. Why did they want to do that? Could people, because they did not believe, they wanted others. We understand the concept here of misery loves company. Indeed, their misery, they wanted others to join them hand in hand in their disbelief concerning Christ. We learn in regard to those who have philosophical wisdom, the people, is that they present multiple theories concerning the resurrection of Jesus. There is a theory that is out there called the swoon theory that presents that Jesus did not really and truly die, but rather that whenever He was beat, 40 stripes saved one, and then whenever He was taken and nailed to the cruel cross, that He lost so much blood and that He was so in so much anguish and pain because of all that He had gone through, and for that reason Jesus merely fainted. And whenever they went to check Him, it appeared as if He was dead, but yet at the same time He had not died, He had merely fainted. And then therefore, whenever He was taken down from the cross, He was taken to the sepulcher, He was taken to the grave and laid upon the cold slab, and it was upon that cold slab then that His body was able to be revived. And Jesus then got up off of that, folded His garments, the linen clothing, and then walked out of the tomb. Good people, there's no evidence in Bible, nor no evidence in history that would reveal any such of a theory. But also we understand is that some people present is that Jesus Christ, His friends, went to the wrong tomb. Good people, if you bury a loved one, if you bury a family member, if you bury someone that you trust in and that you count as a very dear friend, are you going to forget where that individual is buried? Absolutely not. I lost both of my grandparents on my dad's side back in the 80s. And we've been away from the state of Indiana for multiple years now. But I can still take you to their grave. I can still give you directions that if you are in Indiana, that I'll guarantee you that will guide you to the grave, and you've never been there. Jesus' friends, Jesus' family did not forget where the grave was of the one that they had laid to rest. But also, good people, oftentimes people in their desire to dismiss the resurrection of Jesus, they will say that the grave was robbed. They present that someone came and stole the body away. They present that Jesus' family were so distraught, and for this reason they did not want His body to be in the hands of the soldiers. And for that reason they went and they rolled the stone away and they stole the body. But yet at the same time there are others who say, well, you know, Jesus had taught Himself concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of His body. And in all of these things, His friends who loved Him, the apostles, wanted so much for the fact of what Jesus had taught to come true, but yet at the same time it did not. And for that reason, these men went and they rolled the stone away and they stole the body of Jesus. And then also understand this. There are others who say, well, it wasn't His family, it was not His friends, but rather it was the guards. The guards had concocted a plan to go and to roll the stone away and to steal the body. Friends, that doesn't make any sense at all, because these men were responsible for this body. Why would they want to steal the body? And you say, well, Kevin, you know, simply because of the popularity around all of that. Do you understand that if these men had allowed the body to be stolen or to have stolen it themselves, that they would have put their life on the line? It makes no sense that someone would have gone and stole the body away.
But yet others present as that they were merely hallucinating. That they wanted so much to be able to believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the grave that their minds started to play tricks on them. And they just imagined that Jesus Christ had been risen from the grave and that Jesus appeared unto them. To people, the Bible gives us a whole other story. And in fact, what do we find in regard to the Bible? The Bible tells us. The Bible prophesies. The prophets speak concerning multiple things about Jesus. We understand in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that our God had presented that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was going to come into the world and that the Messiah was going to be the answer for the problem that mankind has with sin. In all of these things, good people, we understand, as is presented in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that the Messiah, whenever He came, that in His coming, it was not going to be just like what any other individual who comes into this world, but rather that in His coming, He was going to be born of a virgin. And good people, the Bible not only gives us prophecy concerning these things, but also we understand, as is taught in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 23 and following, that indeed Jesus did come as what the prophets had said that He would. In all of these things too, the prophets had identified that whenever the Messiah came on the scene, that He was going to present Himself in a mysterious way. In these things, we understand that He was going to establish a kingdom, as had been prophesied to David in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. And upon Him, good people, all nations, as was taught unto Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, all nations could be saved. But also we understand concerning the prophets that prophesied concerning the fact that He was going to be a suffering servant. That He was going to live here upon the face of the earth and He was going to serve mankind. But yet at the same time, man was going to reject Him and His service and He was going to suffer. He was going to suffer like no other individual. Why? Because mankind sometimes, whenever we suffer, it's because of the things that we do. But yet Jesus Christ, He did nothing worthy of the suffering that was laid upon Him. Isaiah saw these things, and good people, not only concerning the fact that He was going to suffer, but that He was going to die. And according to what we find in the book of Psalms 16, 8 through 11, that whenever He died, His soul was not going to be left in Hades. The King James translation in the book of Acts chapter 2 says that His soul was not going to be left in hell, but rather the transliteration of that ought to be left in Hades. The Bible tells us that without any question, the prophets knew that whenever Jesus Christ came to this world, whenever the Messiah did come, that He was going to be resurrected from the grave. But good people, also we understand concerning the resurrection of Jesus is that it was promised. In the book of John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Jesus, there whenever He went into the temple, He found them making His Father's house a marketplace. Remember, in the context, He drove out the animals into the streets and their money changers and the owners went out scurrying after their livelihood. And Jesus predicted there in John chapter 2 and verse 19, He says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And you might recall what they say there in verse 20. The Jews said to Him, "How is it then that He thinks that He's going to be able to build this temple up again in 3 days if we destroy it? It took us 46 years to build this temple." Verse 21 tells us that Jesus spoke these things not of the physical temple that was standing before them that they worshiped God at, but rather the temple, His temple, the body, that His body would be resurrected from the grave. In fact, we understand the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 61, as well as in Mark chapter 14 and verse 58, is that these things that Jesus spoke were later brought as accusations against Him. Good people, not only do we find comfort and hope in regard to Jesus, but we also understand that there's hope for each and every one of us. In the book of John chapter 17, 1 through 5, Jesus said that He was going, or He prayed unto the Father that the Father would glorify Him as He had glorified the Father. How did Jesus want the Father and expect the Father to glorify Him? Good people, it was not in His death at the cross, but rather it was in His resurrection.
And the Bible tells us that indeed Jesus was glorified. He was restored back to His place prior to coming to this world. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How has He been seated at the right hand of the throne of God, reigning and ruling on high? Because He has been resurrected from the grave. And what does this mean to you and to me? Good people, it means that in like figure, you and I can have the same resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 through 4, we have the core gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as we march on in the context of all these things, we come to an understanding that there's going to yet be a resurrection, that Jesus Christ is the first fruit. What does it mean to be the first fruit? Good people, it means that there's going to be yet other fruit that comes forth off after Him. Well, what type of fruit is that, good people? That's the fruit that has been obedient to the gospel. Each and every one of us who have been planted as what He has been planted, in the likeness of His death, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. In the likeness of His death, how are we planted in the likeness of His death? Through baptism. We accept Christ in baptism. And when we have obeyed Christ in baptism to be raised out of that watery grave of baptism, the Bible tells us then that we are to walk in newness of life. And if we have been planted to Him in the likeness of His death, then in like figure we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection.
You see, our faith as Christians, the fundamental faith that we have, and the death to our faith is not in the death of Jesus, but rather, good people, is in the resurrection of Jesus. Amen to that. And the Bible also assures us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19 that if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. And our hope is not in Christ only in this world, but rather, good people, our hope is in the risen Savior who is now in heaven. In these things we understand concerning the resurrection of Jesus is that it has been proven. In John chapter 8, verses 12 through 19, we understand that by the testimony of two witnesses, it validates whether or not an instance is indeed the truth. And in the context here, it's presented that Jesus and His Father is indeed the two witnesses concerning the consideration of the context of His deity and His work upon the face of this earth and heaven's eternal plan. But also, I want to take and play off of that and understand is that when we think in regard to the testimony about the resurrection of Jesus, we don't only have two witnesses, good people, we have hundreds of witnesses concerning His resurrection. You will recall in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the grave of Jesus. They went to the exact grave of Jesus. And you will recall whenever they came there, they were met by an angel, and an angel of the Lord told them that He was no longer there. And in fact, in the result of this, they went back to Peter and unto the apostle whom Jesus loved. And Mary Magdalene said unto these men, someone came and stole the body away. She did not understand that Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the grave. And for this reason, she had concern at this point in time that somebody had come, that grave robbers had come in and stole the body away. And the Bible tells us that Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved took off running. And we understand that the disciple whom Jesus loved outran Peter. And whenever they came unto the grave where Jesus Christ was buried, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and good people, I'll tell you tonight, I believe that was John. He stood there at the door and would not go in. But the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 20 and verse 5, and it says that he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying there, yet he did not go in. In the Greek context there where he stooped down and looked in, it bears out is that he was investigating the scene. He was looking intently into if Jesus was in there. He was looking into the fact if someone did come and steal the body away or if indeed He had been resurrected. Peter, we understand, Peter's not going to stand there at the door. Peter runs on in. And good people, whenever he runs in, the Bible identifies for us that Peter was looking intently. He was investigating to find out whether or not he had been stolen away or whether Jesus Christ had been risen by the glory and the power of our God. And what was it that he found? The people, he found that indeed God had resurrected Jesus exactly as what God had promised He was going to do. And the Bible tells us that he saw and believed. They were not alone. In all these things, we learn that there were multiple people that Jesus appeared to. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 18, after this event, then we learn is that Jesus went back to Galilee and appeared to the apostles who were assembled there. In these things, then, that these men believed, and they told Thomas, and Thomas, you remember doubting Thomas, Thomas said, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I'm able to take my hand, my finger, and put it into the wound, I'm not going to believe. He was a skeptic within himself. And the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 21, verses 19 through 29, that Jesus then appeared to Thomas, and the Bible confirms to us that Thomas, he was no longer a doubter, but rather he was a believer. Why? Because he saw with his own eyes the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And good people, we go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Jesus not only appeared to the apostles, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ appeared to 500 brethren at one time. 500 at one time. Remember the testimony of two. Tells us whether or not it's truth. 500 people at one time saw Him resurrected. And Paul says, and last of all, you've seen me as one born out of due time. Did these people believe? Oh, absolutely they did. In fact, the Apostle Paul used what it is that they saw and what it is that they had believed in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1 to identify concerning those foolish Galatians who had been bewitched and turned away from God. He said, before whose eyes clearly He was betrayed among you, the resurrected Jesus. They saw, and sadly they were turning away. And God wants us to believe today that indeed Jesus lived, Jesus died, He was buried, and He has been risen from the grave by the power and the glory of God. In all of these things, the Apostle Paul taught us a lesson in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, I look intently into the resurrection of Jesus. I want to know the power behind His resurrection. Why? Because Paul knew what God wants us to understand is that if we live our lives faithful to God, not only can we and must we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you and I have a resurrection to look forward to in life figure. But in order for us to have part of that resurrection, that is to be resurrected into eternal life, we've got to live our life for Jesus. Have you given your life over to Christ? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism? Have you been planted with Him in the likeness of His death and then raised to walk in newness of life? It's only if you have done those things and are walking in newness of life that we shall be partakers of the great and glorious resurrection unto eternal life.